Good morning, church. It is a gift to be with you. And it matters that you're here. I say it all the time, right? It matters that you're here. I say it all the time because I mean it. I mean it. But what do I mean? What do I mean? What do I mean by you? Right? Do I mean you singular or are you plural? Right? I mean, does that matter? And what do I mean by here? Do I mean the auditorium? A YouTube channel? A state of mind? Does that matter? Or, for that matter, what do I mean when I say stuff matters? We say that all the time. We say that stuff matters. Usually we're talking about immaterial stuff, invisible stuff, and we're saying that it matters. Things like words matter, feelings matter, or your ideas matter, but this is all metaphor because what we really mean when we say something matters is that it's like matter, that it's substantial. It takes up space, and so we have to reckon with it. Anyways, it matters that you're here. As we begin a four-part series entitled, It Matters That You're Here. True story, that's the title, you saw it. And we're going to be exploring four images over the next 4 weeks that Scripture gives us about who we are as the church. One is the body of Christ, the household of God, the temple of God, and the bride of Christ. Those are our four images, and this week we wonder together, what does it mean and say about us that we as a church are the body of Jesus Christ? But first, let's pray. Father, we are in your presence. Would you reveal your presence in the presence of your Son Jesus to us, in and through us today? We want to encounter you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. And I just say, I like having a body. I like it. It's not perfect. Don't get me wrong. Body is a strange thing. Who could ever really map its bizarre assortment of nooks and crannies? Also, the body also doesn't always do what you tell it to do. Sometimes, in fact, it definitely does things you explicitly told it not to do. For example, mine is sometimes given to the venting of strange noises that can be unbecoming in an elevator full of people. You laugh because you know. Nevertheless, I like having a body. It makes it so much easier to hug, or to dance, or to play guitar, or to throw a football, or to in other ways communicate wordlessly exactly what I'm feeling to someone I'm with. And the body is such a gift. Right? It takes the stuff we cannot see, the thoughts, the emotions, the ideas, the words, and it makes that stuff flesh. It takes the invisible stuff within us and makes it visible out in the world. Bodies are the way that we make our presence known. Bodies are the way that we make our presence felt. Consider then the wonder of this passage of Scripture. Now you are the body of Christ. And individually members of it. Could it be that this is our profound calling? The church exists to collectively reveal the presence of Jesus in this world. The church exists. We exist to collectively reveal the presence of Jesus in the world. This is amazing. To make his presence known, to make his presence felt. And this isn't really about a show. It's way more about showing up. The church is the way that Jesus shows up in our dorms, in our places of business, the way that Jesus shows up in our neighborhoods, in our homes, on our streets. That's the way Jesus shows up. And I mean this practically. I just talked to someone this morning. I love this story. Someone in our church was driving on Christmas Day, lonely roads a lot of times on Christmas Day, stops at a gas station. There's an attendant working at the counter, right, all alone in a gas station on Christmas Day. So this dear brother in our church, following a prompting of the Spirit, goes over and says, hey, what's your favorite candy bar? I want to buy you your favorite candy bar. And the guy's like, oh, no, don't do that. And he said, no, it's Christmas. Just let me do this. So the guy's like, well, it's definitely Reese's. So this brother goes over and he's picking out the candy bar. And as he's doing that, in the corner of his eye, he sees the attendant dancing behind the counter. I'm going to get a Reese's. I'm going to get a Reese's. And with that candy bar, Jesus showed up in that lonely gas station on Christmas Day. How many of you are part of a home group in the city or the campus? Can you raise your hand? You see our campus? There's so many of you. Beautiful. That's so awesome. Never too late to join home group. Hey, you all, you showed up over Christmas for 11 families in Southeast Ann Arbor, providing above and beyond what was needed in terms of winter clothing, food, gifts for kids to open on Christmas Day, giving beyond that to help the vulnerable. Some of you helping people who are moving out of homelessness in the winter, trying to get into a healthier spot, giving to the Benevolence Fund. Do you see that that's not just about generosity? That's about justice is our charge. It's about doing right by loving our neighbors, by treating with dignity the people around us, loving as Jesus loves. But you did it. You went out of your way because that's what Jesus does. And you are the body of Christ. That's beautiful. The church is how Jesus shows up in the world. That is mission, right? That's mission is us living sin. Jesus showing up through us in all these places out there. That's mission. That's one of three words you hear a lot around here about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. Mission, a lifestyle of mission. What are the other two words you hear? What? Say loud. Worship, what else? Worship and community. Okay, well, if mission means we're out there revealing Jesus to the world, what on earth are we doing in here right now? We are in here to look up and worship of Jesus. Gathering together. So that we can help each other be ready to go out and live on mission throughout the course of our week. Worship and community is what's happening here on a Sunday when we gather with a home group. It's looking up and it's looking around so that we can look out. And the image of the body in Christ in Scripture gives us a great picture of what it means to look up and to look around before we go out and be his presence. There's a lot of passages that talk about the body of Christ, and I just want to point to a couple of themes that arise out of those passages. One is this, Jesus is the head of his body. Jesus is the head of his body. It doesn't seem like that would be, you know, too hard to fathom. But we're all a part of the body. The body of Christ is filling the world. And so, you know, Paul's writing these things to the church saying, he says this in Colossians 1, he says, and Jesus is before all things, and in him, all things hold together. That's what the scripture says. Jesus is before all things, and in him, all things hold together, and he is the head of the body, the church. But Paul's writing this in this passage and in other passages. Why doesn't he say, well, Jesus and me are the head? Right? Like, Jesus and one of the other apostles, Peter, or James or John. We're kind of the head together, right? He's not saying that. Why? Well, the early church is diverse. It includes Jews who grew up following the Jewish law. It also includes non-Jews, the Gentiles of many different ethnicities who grew up worshiping a plurality of gods or living under a Greek philosophy. But even among the Jews, you had different political parties. You had the Zealots and the Essenes and the tax collectors and the Pharisees, all these different types of people. And in the church, you've got the rich and the poor and everyone in between. And you've got men, women, and children, slaves, and free. I mean, this is the assortment of people that left to themselves would probably have ignored, snubbed, mocked, or murdered one another on the street. I give you the church. But one thing united them. The one thing that brought them all together was that they were saved by grace alone through the work of Jesus Christ alone. Amen? That is it. They were all beggars at the foot of the cross, accepting a handout from a very good God. They were dead in our sins, and he saved us. He took the death that we deserved. He died to take away our sins and was raised to life for our justification, to make us right in the sight of God, to cleanse us, to purify us, to give us a home and a family and a purpose, a new identity. He did this for us by no merit of our own, but by his undeserved favor, his grace. That's why when we come to worship, we look up to the head. Why? Jesus is our message. Because there's a lot of different people in this community as well. And this church changes so much from year to year. Because we're in an international town with students. There's a revolving door. And I know there's different political persuasions represented in here. I know there's people who have different ideas and values regarding social issues or COVID response. People from different socioeconomic backgrounds. But recognizing that Jesus is the head of the church means that all those other things that we value, hear this, all those other things that we value are worthless compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ our Lord. And I want to oversimplify here because we still have to interpret, right? What is the head telling us to do? What is Jesus telling us to do? How are we interpreting? How are we living? That gets messy trying to figure that out as the church. And it was messy for the early church as well. But worship is about a disposition of the heart. It means that as we figure that out together in the messy way that we do that, we're looking up to Jesus. And that means there is never any room for us to treat one another with contempt or even the slightest hint of dishonor. We're told to outdo one another in showing honor. That characterizes who we are when we're together and with one another. And it's Jesus that makes that possible. As I was writing in this part of my sermon, in a little coffee shop in Farmington Hills, an elderly woman approached me, a woman of color. She said, "Is that a Bible you're reading?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, it is." And she did a little dance, and she said, "Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy." I was like, "Oh, you remember that Bible song?" And she said, "Of course I do." We introduced ourselves, and we started sharing about our church communities and rejoicing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And, you know, this little anecdote is not a silver bullet in the very real social issues that plagued the world. But in that moment, when I looked in Miriam's eyes and I saw her joy and her freedom, I knew that we worshiped the same Jesus. I knew it. And even though there's local churches filling the world, there's only one body of Christ, and she and I are both essential members of it. But neither of us is the head. Jesus is the head. We need the head, you guys. You know what happens if you separate a head from the body? You get dead. Gotta stay connected to the head. So that's looking up in worship. But Scripture also gives us images in the body of Christ of what it means to look around as part of a community. This is what Ephesians chapter 4 says. "And Jesus gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry." So you have all these people using gifts to serve and equip, but they're not doing all the work. We're all together. All the saints are doing the work of ministry, which is what? Building up the body of Christ. "Until we all attain to the unity of faith and of knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood." We're looking at a picture of mature Jesus out into the world. So the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, Scripture says. "Why? So that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes." That's what happens when you separate from the body. And you're like, "You know what, I'm going to do my own arm thing over here, apart from the body." You get separated, and then that's when everything from the latest news flash to the latest podcast begins to kind of turn you away, turn you inside, and you get kind of worked over by the cunning of this world. What we're supposed to do instead, rather, it says, speaking the truth in love. Not just hard truth, not just sweet love. Speaking the truth in love. We are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. As members of the same body, we are interdependent on one another. We're interdependent on one another. You're not here just to hear from me, from people who are on the stage. You don't just need me. I need you. You need the person sitting next to you. If you're watching a live stream at home, the church needs you to become more like Jesus, and you need them to become more like Jesus. And as we serve one another, as we love one another, as we build up one another, we look more like Jesus when we go out in the world on mission. So in a very real way, if the church is the way that God has decided that Jesus is going to show up in the world, he doesn't show up. Jesus doesn't unless his people show up. Unless we show up following his lead. And that's why the character of Christ is our aim. We need to look like Jesus when we show up. That's what we're shooting for. We're not here on our own behalf, but on his behalf. So there's two ways. How does that happen? How do we, if we're aiming for the character of Christ, how do we hit that mark? How do we begin to look more like Jesus? Scripture talks about spiritual gifts and the imperative of love. Spiritual gifts and love. 1 Corinthians 12 tells us that each one of us has been given a manifestation of the Holy Spirit for the common good. And it names a ton of gifts in Scripture, spiritual gifts, spiritual power that you have been given if you're following Jesus and received his Spirit. Gifts of encouragement, gifts of teaching, and gifts of prophecy and healing or exhortation or miracles, hospitality, discerning between spirits, gifts of wisdom and knowledge and of leadership and generosity and mercy and speaking in different tongues or languages and interpreting those languages, gifts of administration, other ways of speaking and serving for the good of the church. And so Paul tells us again in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26, what then shall we say? Let's remember, let's summarize. When you meet together, one will sing, another will teach, another will tell someone special revelation God has given, one will speak in tongues, another will interpret what is said, but every one of you must do what strengthens all of you. You're all doing what's for the good of the church so that it may be built up. Now, he's not saying that it has to be these gifts every time. He's giving an example. He's saying, look, when you show up, be ready to use the gifts the Holy Spirit has given you to build up the body of Christ. And always following these passages about spiritual gifts, you always hear this strong, resounding press of love. See, the way we grow is by showing up ready to use our spiritual gifts in love. That's how we grow. Now, I know I've had people come up to me before and give me really difficult truth, hard things, something, I mean, I call it reproof, rebuke, admonition, but some different, difficult truths. And I can tell you guys when someone gives that because they love me and they want to build me up, and when someone gives me that with like a tinge of bitterness or frustration or trying to tear me down. And it may be truth either way, but only one of those is done in accordance with the Scriptures. Truth in love, that spiritual gift in love with an intention of building up. I also want you to know it's our intention as your pastors to teach more adequately on the spiritual gifts that I mentioned earlier and others that you can better understand the gifts that God has given you and how to use them. There's a class coming up this semester that'll just scratch the surface of some of that. But I sincerely believe, and I want you to hear this clearly, that God is not particularly interested in waiting on your pastors. He has, by his Spirit, given you your gifts right now. And as often as you come together for worship here on Sunday morning or home groups during the week, whenever you come together, he intends that you use the spiritual power he has given you to build up other believers in love. That's so cool. Yeah. There's no gift that's better than any other gifts. No part of the body that's more valuable than the other parts of the body. You are all interdependent. We are all interdependent on one another, dependent on the head, which is Jesus. Me sharing these things, telling you that we don't function quite properly without you being an active participant in the church, is not just a pressure to serve at New Life Kids, or to serve in a tech team, or some other Sunday service role. I'd love if you served in that way. But frankly, what I'm asking of you is much bigger and more personal than signing up for a formal service opportunity. Jesus may lead you to serve in some of those ways on a Sunday, but whenever you come together, when you ever have an opportunity to be together, what I'm asking you to do is to consult with Jesus about how he would have you use your spiritual gifts to love and build up the people in the community. You know, when I walk in a room on Sunday morning, so often I'm thinking about whether or not I have enough coffee or if I remember to grab a mint when I walked in. I'm going to be honest, I usually grab way more than one. I know some of you right now, you got 7 mints in your pocket, and there's like 8 wrappers, right? You're like, you got the wrappers and the mints. No shames, don't judge me here. That's why they're here. We're being hospitable. That's good. It's mint. I would just love if you and I, though, we walked in, it wasn't just about the mints, you know? I could go walk in and just be like, you know what, Jesus, who do you want me to encourage today? You can do this today. It could be someone sitting around you. Who are you putting on my heart and mind that you want me to see a need? You want me to pray for them? You want me to encourage them? You want me to help them in some way? I'm convinced we would see miracles. I've already seen miracles, no doubt in my mind. So Jesus is the head of his body. That's about looking up in worship. And as members of his body, we're interdependent on one another, showing up ready to use our spiritual gifts in love. That's community. And that builds us up so we can be the presence of Jesus out in mission out there. But as I close, I want to acknowledge a very real tension that one of the hardest parts about all the things I'm sharing right now might just be showing up. Like, COVID is a reality. If you are with people, you may well get sick. Probably many of you have. That's a risk. We seem to have gained some helpful tools and knowledge to help us mitigate that risk, but isolating yourself from other people is probably the only way to effectively zero out the risk of contracting COVID. The problem with that is that it carries other risks. It isolates you from the body of Christ, from connection with other believers. It also isolates the gathering of believers from you. And eventually, this has diminishing returns for our emotional and spiritual health as well. I know many of you have experienced that personally. But Scripture is not silent on this. This is what Hebrews 10 says. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. The day is the day of Jesus' return. Not giving up the habit of meeting together. If you haven't been back to an in-person service in a long while, I do not share this verse to shame you or to ignore the very real risks, right? The risks are real. I share this truth in love only to say that I personally have really set this verse aside for a long while to make room for the fact that we're trying to conscientiously navigate a very confusing and difficult pandemic. But I would also be remiss if I didn't tell you the truth and acknowledge honestly that there is so much more to life than just trying not to die. So it's time to wrestle with this verse again. What does it look like for each of us to obey the command not to neglect meeting together? For us to show up as members of the body of Christ, for whom will you be the hug of Jesus or the smiling face of Jesus, the hands and feet of Jesus, the encouraging words of Jesus, the provision of healing or hospitality of Jesus, and who will be that for you? What would faith look like for you this month, this year? It could be baby steps, right? Maybe it's coming back to an in-person service, but maybe it's just expanding your bubble to include others from the church community. Or having someone over to your house for dinner. Maybe it's intentionally reaching out over text to encourage someone in the church or share some scripture with them to consider how you can use your gifts to build them up in love. And maybe you're already coming to a service in person, but it's time to move away from being a spectator or just consuming, but to think, how am I going to contribute today out of the gifts that God has given me and the love he has placed in my heart by the power of the Holy Spirit? Whatever it is, let's find a way to show up for one another in 2022. Let's find a way to show up for one another because Jesus showed up for us and because he shows up in us as the body of Christ whenever we are together. Let's pray. God, you are so faithful. You love us with strength and with tenderness, and we need what you have to offer. We need to be led in your truth, and we need your grace and your compassion and your mercy, because this is a confusing world, and even when we want to follow you, it's not always easy to know exactly how to do that. So would you give us the grace to love one another, to love you, to stay connected to you, Jesus? Would you give us the grace to know what our spiritual gifts are and to use them actively in love to build one another up? Would you give us the grace to outdo one another in showing honor, to delight to love one another and to accept one another in your name? And make us your presence out in the world so that the world might know who you are, how good you are, and how worth it is to follow you and you alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.